Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 30th day of September, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is current events. You might want to subtitle it Possible Solutions. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Embith. Callers will be welcome later on in the program. If you do call in, we ask that you watch language. Also, be careful not to walk on others who may be calling in at the same time. In other words, proper decorum. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We do keep the daily mail page there updated as much as possible. With the censorship on email, it would be a good idea if you just go to the daily mail page once in a while and check for the latest news items that I have there. Before we get into the current events list I have here, I've got a few quotes. Now, keep these quotes in mind as we talk about some of the shenanigans that are going on in this country and around the world. This is worldwide now, folks. It's not just country by country. It's worldwide. Benjamin Franklin said, "Freedom is not a gift bestowed on us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature." Hallelujah. In fact, if you care to check it out, the very definition of a right, it means it cannot be legislated away. Do you understand what that means? A right cannot be legislated away, because if it can, it's a privilege and not a right. You see, they've got us believing, because of our indoctrination in these fool systems we call public school systems, that the government can basically do anything it wants, including violate their oaths of office, renege on promises made, and violating our rights by simply putting a bunch of words on a piece of paper, as if they somehow magically have the authority to rule over us. Well, they don't. That's why there is a Bill of Rights. Okay, it doesn't say a Bill of Privileges. It says a Bill of Rights. The Founding Fathers put it in there at the last minute because of their fear that public servants at some point might forget their obligations. You've got to remember, the Constitution does not establish what our rights are and what we the people are allowed to do or not to do. Have nothing to do with that whatsoever. It has everything to do with holding our public servants accountable to you and I. It's a list of their do's and don'ts, not you and me. You can shred the Constitution up as far as my personal rights. Have nothing to do with that piece of paper. But the people that are in public service to us take an oath of office so that that's our surety that they will abide by the restrictions placed upon them by the Constitution. Do you understand the difference? Whether you're talking the federal, in the case of federal public servants, or the states and the state public servants, they all take an oath to make sure they understand that they have limits. Okay? Now, they're not operating that way today because you and I, as the people, have not held them accountable. We've allowed them to get away with making excuse after excuse after excuse, and we don't hold their feet to the fire. Our Founding Fathers did. In fact, they literally held their feet to the fire. And in the case of tarring and feathering and lynching errant public servants. Now, the public servants try to tell us that we don't have a right to even talk like this. Well, that would be the same as a tyrant king saying, you don't have a right to kill the king's deer. You don't have a right to say anything about me being a tyrant. Well, of course, a tyrant doesn't want anybody speaking out against them. That's what tyrants do. But the people who are supposed to be believers in the God of the Bible and of the Messiah, we're not supposed to allow these assholes that call themselves public servants to get away with this crap. In fact, we're not supposed to allow anybody in our society to get away with this crap, whether they're a public servant or not. If you want to rape our women, then you die. If you want to murder our citizens, you die. It doesn't matter if you're a public servant or not a public servant. You have no protection under our law when you violate God's law. If you want to kidnap people, including law enforcement people and judges who kidnap under the color of law, you die. It's as simple as that. Okay? It's not really a hard problem, folks. We have plenty of precedent. We have world history of our people all through the ages. We've got common sense. We've got rational thinking. We've got historical documents. We've got the organic documents of our nation. And we have, last but not least, the Bible. As odd as that may sound, the Bible supports everything I just said. We do not have to put up with the kind of behavior that we're seeing. I did not watch the debates last night. My stomach couldn't take it. Two fools up on a stage putting on a production for the sheep out there. Who in his right mind thinks either of these buffoons deserve to be the leader of the free world? Absolutely neither one of them. In fact, there's nobody in a government position today that's worthy of that rule. When are we, the people, going to wake up to that? We have kakistocracies at work in every white nation on earth. Every white nation on earth is a kakistocracy. It's government by the worst elements of your society. The worst. And yet, what did the Founding Fathers tell us, and what does the Bible tell us? You, ladies and gentlemen, you are supposed to pick righteous men to fill your government roles. You are not supposed to give fealty to the unrighteous or the wicked or the despot. That's you. So all of it comes back on you and me. We are the people. We are the ones who decide how much bullshit we're going to take. It's not up to a bunch of three-piece suits in Washington or at the state capitol building. It's not up to them. They work for us. They don't tell us what to do. The problem is that you all think, well, Diane, I'm just all by myself out here, and what am I going to do, Diane? I can't do anything about it, Diane. So we just have to go along, right, Diane? That's what you typically hear, right? Can't do a damn thing about it. So let's just let this bullshit continue. These oligarchs and these psychopaths that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground make decisions of life and death matters in our nation. What are you people thinking? What are you thinking that this election, if it does happen, is going to make one goddamn difference in the way this country's run? You've been electing the favorite on either side of the aisle in my whole lifetime, and it hasn't made one shred of difference. Not one shred. Because the people that are really in charge, you don't even know their names. These fools that are put out in front of you to perform this stage production called politics in America and around the world, these fools take their marching orders from people way more powerful and way richer than the names you're familiar with, including the buffoon in Washington right now and the bigger buffoon running against him. They're both buffoons. They both are servants to the Zionist Bolshevik Jew. Okay? Whether they themselves are Jewish or not, I can't attest to that, but I can attest to the fact that they act like they are either Zionists or in Zionist pockets. Doesn't matter, really, does it? As long as it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. As long as it walks like a Jew, talks like a Jew, and supports the Jew, it really doesn't matter if they actually are a Jew, does it? Everything Donald does, he brags about how much he's doing for Israel and the Jews, how much he's doing for the Chinaman and the brown and the black that walk amongst us. When has he ever said anything about doing something for white men? Now he's got this Amy Barrett running, being nominated for the Supreme Court. Has anybody checked up on her background? If you wish to know a little more about it, there's several good articles I can send you. And just before airtime, I was made aware that Dr. Ted Brewer and his son Austin just did a program in the last couple days. And they live down here in North Central Florida. And they just did a program exposing her as a statist, which means she supports government, all-powerful government. And she also supports the idea that government, like not Bernie Sanders, but Alan Dershowitz, that dirtbag Harvard professor who thinks he's a constitutionalist when he's actually just a Jew, a Zionist Bolshevik Jew, pedophile, saying that it's okay for the government to come into your house and force vaccinate you. So Alan Dershowitz, a typical Zionist Bolshevik, and now Amy Barrett, another Zionist Bolshevik supporting Jew. And she may not be Jewish, but how many Jews pretend to be Catholics? Can we say Nancy Pelosi? All right, she's a kike. Now, they hide as all kind of religions. You can find kikes pretending to be Catholics, kikes pretending to be Protestants, just like Osteen, Pastor Osteen there, the good reverend making millions of dollars selling snake oil to the believers out there. Okay, they're all over the place. They pretend to be Hindus, Buddhists, Confucianists, you name it. They'll be whatever it takes to get into a position to pull the wool over your eyes while they're sticking poisons in you and robbing you blind. When the hell are you going to wake up? That's what I want to know. I don't know why the Father has me sitting here watching all this bullshit. I really don't. I really don't. This is a frustrating job, I'm going to tell you. Okay? I wanted to come on tonight and be as uplifting as possible because so many people I talk to every day, they're forlorn, they're depressed, they're disgusted. Well, it's righteous indignation. I understand that. And I do my best to be positive. But I'm going to tell you something. Every day that goes by, my disgust for the white race and my disappointment in the white race just grows and grows and grows. What does it take to ignite the basic animal instincts in a race of people? Okay? In the animal kingdom, they do not kill their own children. Not healthy ones, anyway. There are a few animals, whatnot, if they detect a disease or something of that matter, in order that the other kittens or dogs or hogs or whatever, they may take a child of, or a little one out. I've seen it on the farm. But that's rare. That's rare. They have the instinct to nurture their young. They want their own kind to survive. They don't allow intermixing with other species and genesis of animals. Even the plant life knows better than to do that. Okay? But not the white man. I don't understand what the hell's wrong with our people. I really don't. These are common sense things. Your eyes, open your frickin' eyes and look around you. What the hell's going on? What is wrong with you parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents that you have children in your family out there sleeping with other races and you don't say a goddamn thing about it? I don't understand it. I really don't. I've had people say, well, Dan, they're my children. I have to love them, Dan. They're my children. I said, no, you don't. You show me in the good book where it says I have to love my children when they're disobedient. Well, Dan, I never told them they couldn't race mix, you know. I just kind of thought that if they fell in love with somebody of a different color, then, you know, it's love, Dan. Oh, my God. It's love. Show me that in the Bible. Show me that where the Holy Spirit has testified to you that that's a justification for you to race mix and pollute the holy seed. Tell me where it says that, okay? Tell me how in your pea-picking brain you can look in the mirror at night and feel good about yourself with a flimsy-ass excuse like that. Well, Dan, they fell in love. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a bunch of skirts talking, okay? I would expect skirts, that means females, to talk like that because that's why they're mothers, but not men. We don't fall for that crap. We come straight from the Father. Father created Adam, then he created Eve as an afterthought at the request of Adam. It was not Yahweh's plan to put an Eve down here with Adam. That wasn't the original plan. Because Adam does not need Eve to accomplish his goals. He does not need her. He wants her, but he does not need her. Do you understand the difference? Now, are women a great attribute and a great help? Absolutely. But the point of it is, Adam can get the job done without Eve's help. Because in a lot of cases, our Eves, our ladies, get in the way. Because they'll come up with 1,000 excuses why their man can't get out there in the trenches and put an end to this bullshit that's going on right now. Okay? And I'm sorry, ladies. I understand that you're security-driven. You want that safe home. You want the bread to come in. You want the money to come in. You want the guy there to protect the children, blah, 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 blah. But in the meantime, our country is on fire. Okay? What good is it for you to keep your man close by while you have tickets on the Titanic and you just heard the big crash as it hit the iceberg and it's taking on water, but you want your man to stick by while the boat sinks? Well, the country's sinking, and you're still worried about keeping your man in tow. I got news for you. Men, you're going to have to untie those apron strings, and you're going to have to start reaching out to other men because it's getting close to go time here. All right? It's the men, the righteous men, who love truth, honesty, and our Heavenly Father that are going to turn this thing around. Not a bunch of shitbags in Washington, D.C. or your state capital that are nothing but liars, misfits, psychopaths, sociopaths. Most of them are pedophiles or some other sexual deviant. And almost every one of them is in the pocket of a Jew. And you think that group is going to solve a problem? Tell me, how does that work? Because in my brain, that doesn't work. Going to the same people that created the problems and asking them, please, please, would you please stop abusing us? Would you stop ignoring us? Would you stop taxing us to death? Would you stop with this nonsensical, non-existent pandemic bullshit story? We all know it's a lie. It's because half our people are cowards and afraid that they run around with a dirty diaper on their face. It's not because they believe it's going to do any good, because most of them at least have enough brains to read the box that the things come on, and it says right on the box, it's not going to save anybody, either the person wearing it or the person in the room with you or whatever. Look at the morons going down the road driving a car all by themselves with a dirty diaper on their face. You know what that tells me? That's got to be one of the dumbest MFers on this earth. You're driving a car all by yourself, and you've got a diaper on your face? I'm sorry if it offends anybody, but you are the dumbest son of a bitch walking on 2 feet. That's just the way it goes. If you can't figure that one out, you truly are dumb. In fact, people that have a diaper on their face while they're driving a car down the road should not be allowed to operate an automobile. If you're that stupid, you should not be allowed to operate an automobile on the highways. You are a threat to the rest of us because people that stupid generally don't even know how to properly operate a machine. That's how freaking stupid people are. And like a lot of people, I'm just fed up. At first, I wanted to be sympathetic, you know, because they are so mesmerized with their flat screen gods. They call them this electronic toilet, this flat screen in front of them, whether it's a computer, tablet, or the television. They're being propagandized morning, noon, and night. And I felt sorry for them because they fall for it. I turned that stuff off years ago. My television hasn't been turned on to regular programming in a very long time. In fact, it's not turned on for anything. But there's people that can't wait to get home at night and hit the on-off button or the remote now and sit there all evening long with their heads being pumped full of bullshit. And now they don't know if it's day or night out. They don't know up from down, left from right, good from bad, evil from good. They don't know. Their head's so full of the crap coming across that electronic toilet, they don't know which way to go. Well, I'm here to tell you, you better straighten up real fast because things are getting serious. We've been telling you that on this program for a long time. I know. Well, Diane, it didn't happen. You said it a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago. It didn't happen right away, so I just went back to doing what I was doing. Well, you know, the prophets of old held the same problem. They had that same problem. They were talking to the Israelites of old and trying to tell them, hey, you guys are going the wrong way. And you know what the Israelites of old used to do? They used to hunt them down. They tried to stone them. They tried to cut them in half in a log. They tried to boil hot oil and pour it over them. They tried to set them on fire. They tried to lambast them. They tried to get the king to chop their heads off. They'd do almost anything except listen. Anything but listen. Because they always know better. The people in general always know better. Well, I don't need to listen to that guy but sent by Yahweh. I don't need to listen to the words of anybody trying to teach wisdom. Why do I have to do that? I want to live my own life. I want to make the decisions for me. Well, you can do that, folks. You can do that. You know, there's an old adage that says you can ignore the truth. But you cannot ignore the consequences that come from ignoring the truth. Okay? So you can ignore the truth. Just like now. The truth is the Republican and Democratic parties haven't served you and I in my lifetime. The politicians in general have not served you and I in our lifetimes. And yet, you still take part in this sham called the voting and election process, as if it makes a difference. Or do you actually think the American people elected that no good piece of shit Obama to the office of president twice? Do you actually believe that? Do you actually believe our votes matter at all at this point in time? With electronic counting and all of the fraud that goes on both sides of the aisle. It's not just the Democrats. Politicians in general. Okay? There's just too much money. It's like the gangster told me one time, a person that used to belong to the mob. And he said, Dan, professional sports is rigged. You know that, right? I said, well, I like to think it's not. He goes, there's too much money on it, Daniel. If there's that much money riding on it, do you think that the bookies and the criminals that are involved in it are going to allow it up to chance? You've got to be kidding me. And then I find out years later that professional athletes sign contracts as entertainers. because that's exactly what the gangster told me. They're being paid big bucks to do exactly what they're told, to put on the stunts, etc., etc., etc. It's just, we're being played from six ways to Sunday. All right, being played. Ralph says here, why did the Florida governor lift all restrictions? Well, he sort of did and he sort of didn't. What he did was rescind his own so-called mandates. And then he said, well, the local ones, if they have justification, local and county people can still have them. So that was his pussying out on that. But here again, what difference does it matter when the crooks in government go and try to say that, well, it's obvious that this is not a real pandemic. We're going to back off. Well, you know, it's too late now because now the corporations, remember, this is why the Jew wants everything centralized. Okay? That's when mom and pops were all driven out of business in favor of the corporations. Why? Well, they told you it's because corporations are much more efficient. And they can do things because they're so big. They're going to benefit you and give you cheaper goodies. No, the reason they want corporations is because then a very few powerful rich people at the top can control everything going on down below them. So what you have now is the Jew masters of the corporations have put out the edict, well, we're not going to let you in our stores. And all of our employees will wear the mask or they'll be fired. And now they're putting money in people's pockets to snitch on you. If they see somebody going in your store or your restaurant with no diaper on their face, they're going to call a number and the people from the state will come down and issue a fine. Or the corporation will come down and punish the manager. You see how that works? This is why they want no middle class running anything. It's all corporations. It's all people tied into who, what? Oh, bankers? Government, corporations, and the mainstream religions, all of them are in bed together, right? That's like the clergy, what do they call it, the clergy response team? Most of your ministers in these whitewashed sepulchers have joined the clergy response team, which means they have agreed that they will follow in line with whatever edicts these monsters put out. This is the biggest joke that was ever perpetrated on mankind, this whole pandemic thing. But, you know, you set the stage up, folks, because I remember when the bird flu came out, okay? That was a joke. Then there was Zika. Remember Zika? In fact, right here in Florida, our governor, his wife, made millions of dollars because she was part owner in the company that produced the so-called solution for Zika, which was a poison they sprayed all over us to kill the bad mosquitoes. Do you remember that fiasco, folks? And we come to find out Zika, like everything else, was out of a laboratory. It really didn't cause the problems that the media was telling us. In other words, it was a lie. And now that current governor is sitting in your Congress. Now, do you think he's turned into a better guy? Because he left the state of Florida and went to Washington as a congressman? You think he's a better person than the one that took part in that whole Zika fiasco? Of course not. But you didn't punish him. You rewarded him and sent him to Washington. You see why we have the government we have today? It's like my father told me a long time ago, Dan, the people get the kind of government they deserve. Because he couldn't understand why I was trying to wake people up and trying to change things. He goes, you're wasting your time. I said, well, Dad, it's what I got to do. Well, he said, the government they get is the government they deserve. Because the average person in America doesn't give a shit. The average person in America doesn't want to get off his ass. The average person in America doesn't want to study anything or learn anything about the issues. They want somebody to solve their problems for them. So they go back to drinking their beer, eating their pork sandwiches, sitting in front of that electronic toilet, getting their brains sucked out of them. That's what the average American wants to do. And that's why I say, you're not going to fix this problem, folks. This problem is not going to get fixed because you're still not listening. You're still not thinking properly about the proper solution. Number one, you have to look at what the enemy did to unravel a working system that this country started out with. When we actually had a republic under a constitution and we followed the rules as the founding fathers put in place. Okay, what did they do? They dismantled all that. Because what did the founding fathers say? Only, exactly as the Bible says, only white men who were free landowners, verified as righteous in the community, and understood the biblical law, because all man's law is supposed to follow biblical law, these were the only men qualified to hold public office or to cast a ballot or to sit in a jury box. Now, that group of people, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant men of good repute, aren't represented in government anywhere. Anywhere. Okay? Your Supreme Court is made up of Jews and Catholics are just another branch of Zionism. Okay, so you've got nothing but Zionists in your Supreme Court, and you think they're going to uphold our values? Are you kidding me? But you're going to go back to sleep. Oh, he put a good-looking gal in there, and she's got two little black babies she's helping to raise, and she's got lots of kids, and she's a Catholic, Diane, so she's going to be good, just like Kavanaugh and Roberts and all the rest were supposed to be good for us, right? Wrong. Wrong. You drank the Kool-Aid, you fell for it once again, just like this whole thing with Trump, okay? He keeps doing everything for Israel. He keeps putting Jews in charge. He keeps putting Catholics and Jews on the Supreme Court. He keeps putting Jews in charge of different cabinet positions and everything else. He's got the same Jew running the Federal Reserve, Jew after Jew after Jew, and he's so proud of himself for it. Let me ask you something. You tell me how him supporting Jews so much has helped you or me or our families. How's it helped us? Would you want to explain that to me? I'm watching us go down in flames with this idiocy. These people are interlopers. They're not our friends. They've never been our friends. Friends don't come in and undermine your entertainment system. They don't undermine your media. They don't undermine your education system. They don't undermine your court system. They don't undermine your government, and they don't undermine your medical, which is exactly what these sons of bitches have done. Okay? You'd still have natural medicine as we had clear up into the early 1900s, until Rockefeller, who is a Jew, and all of his money, just like Goldberg and Bloomberg, is spending millions of his dollars, his ill-gotten gain, that little kike Jew, is spending millions of dollars to make sure his kind of Democrat, Zionist, Bolshevik pieces of garbage get into office so they can take your guns away. Because you people still think you've got to listen to government. You're never going to fix your problems. Government has created your problems, and you're still thinking government's going to fix it. You're hopeless. I'm here to tell you, you're hopeless. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, is a form of insanity. You're insane, people. Insane. Because you still don't get it. How many times do I have to tell you? You're not going to get led out of this thing by the current type of individuals that tell you they're doing some good. You're going to have to do some soul searching, and you're going to go have to find some righteous men, warriors. You've got to go find some warriors, okay, and make them your leaders, men with some smarts, men with a backbone, men with military experience, men that know how to lead other men. Men who don't take bullshit from anybody. Men who are going to go in and see a problem and fix it. Up till now, you haven't done that. And you're going to suffer. You're going to keep suffering. This turmoil, this angst that you're under right now is your own creation, folks. Believe it or not, it's your own creation. What does the good book say? Yahweh brings punishment upon his people when they behave like we've behaved. You want this punishment to go away, then get on your knees and beg for forgiveness. I know a lot of you don't think you have to do that. You're too proud. I don't have to beg for forgiveness. Well, let me tell you something. When you give up that notion, you start living. You actually start living. When you realize that you're a piece of shit in his eyes, okay? That's exactly what we are. The Apostle Paul called it, we are as filthy rags. That was his way of saying it in biblical times. In our current language, it would be basically, you're nothing more than a piece of shit in the eyes of the Creator. Why? Because you don't listen. He sends you prophet after prophet. He sends you media. He sends you friends that talk to you. He gave you a brain that works, and you still refuse to use it. You still think you have the right solution. You don't ever ask for his advice. Picture for a moment that you're the one sitting in heaven. You've created this world. You put in place all the laws of thermodynamics and nature. You created Adam and put him down here to keep and enforce biblical law. You did all of that and gave them life and gave them these beautiful trees and skies and the birds and the fish and the clean air and the beautiful soil that'll grow almost anything. You gave him all of that, and look what he's done with it in his endless search for money, because that's what most of you care about. You don't give a damn about what's right and wrong. All you care about is what makes you money. If your boss comes down to you and tells you to do something unethical, you'll do it. All he's got to do is threaten your job. I watched people in the nuclear power industry do the wrong thing because it affected their bonus. Their bonus. Didn't affect their paycheck. It affected their bonus. They took what was right and just threw it right out the window. They took ethics and threw it right out the window. They took the safety of the crews that they supervised and threw it right out the window because their bonus meant more to them than doing the right thing. That's the kind of people that we share this world with. That's the kind of people that have created the mess that we're in right now. And the only people that are going to come out of this mess are the ones like Noah and his family that see there's a righteous way out. And the only righteous way out is you've got to find yourself leaders. And you better find leaders, and they are going to be monarchs. They're not going to share their authority with another. Now, I did not say dictators. A monarch is no different than a general. When you go off to war, you agree that only one guy is going to make the decisions for the battle because that's the smart way to do it. And you want the best general you can find. It's no different in government. That's why the Christian monarchies were at the top of the list that the Zionists wanted to destroy in this world. Why? Because they are strong. You put strong men in charge, guys like Alfred the Great. And speaking of greats, how about Alexander the Great? Alexander the Great said, I don't fear an army of lions led by a sheep. I don't fear an army of lions led by a sheep. You see that? Alexander said, you could have a whole army of Achilles, a whole army of Hercules. And he said, I don't fear that. If their leader, the guy they picked, and they're following him, like these two misfits in that debate last night, if they're the leader, I don't fear you. What he said, I do fear? What I do fear is an army of sheep led by a lion. Because that's what Alexander the Great was. He was a lion on the battlefield, and he had the respect of his men. And I know people write stories and all because that was over 2,000 years ago. And guess what? I don't have a time machine, and neither do you. We don't know exactly what happened. But what I do know is he and his armies conquered most of the known world at that time. You don't get to accomplish that kind of things unless you got something on the ball. Was he a perfect guy? Probably not. Did every single person in his army love him? Well, probably not. But enough of them did that he was able to accomplish all that. So he makes the point that I'm trying to make for our people right now. You better find your leaders and get behind them now and forget everything else. There is no political solution. There is no savior going to come out of the woodwork and save your ass, barring the second coming. I'll tell you what, if you don't want to do that, that's fine, but you better get on your knees and pray every night that Yeshua himself comes back real soon, because that's the only thing going to save you. If you can't get off your high horse and realize we have to form ranks as military men, and I'm not talking to the ladies, I'm talking to the men right now. We have to form military ranks to defend our homes and our communities, the people that we love, and our neighbors, because we're it. We're it. And everything I see says that this Trump and his new SCOTUS is going to support the idea that you and I are going to be forced to vaccinate. Because if you don't, you're not going to get on a plane. We already saw an article about that yesterday. Certain airports and whatnot they're going to start out as voluntary, and then they're going to require proof that you took the vaccine, or you're not going to get on a plane. You're not going to get on a bus. You're not going to get on a boat. And you're not going to go to your job. If it's a large corporation that runs it or has anything to do with the company that you work for, you're not going to have a job. They're not going to let you into the workplace. You think I'm kidding? It's already starting to happen. It's already happening in places in Australia, in Europe. It's already happened to the poor folks in China. And you don't think it's going to come here? The same people that run all them run you, folks. They're here. The communists are here. The Bolshevik Zionist communists are here. The same ones running the shows everywhere else this stuff's going on. And you think they're not going to do it here? They've already alluded to the fact they're going to bring the military in to force it. And you don't think it's going to happen? Like I said, you better be praying real hard for the second coming, because that's the only thing going to save your ass. And if you're waiting for that rapture train, well, you got suckered again. You got suckered again. So we live in a kakistocracy, which means we have government by the worst elements of our society. We also live in a kleptocracy, which means that our government are thieves. So both words apply, kleptocracy and kakistocracy. Both of them come from the Greek language. That's what you have. Thieves and degenerates, psychopaths. And you think they're going to fix something because you cast a ballot for one psychopath over another psychopath. Folks, it's beyond that. This is a war between righteous and wicked people. And unless you want to take your side with the goats on the wicked side, you'd better start thinking about straightening up your own act and being as righteous as you can be. And you better start thinking about who you're going to fight with. Who's going to stand next to you and be willing to fight? And if necessary, die. Do you have very many people that fit that description, guys? Because that's where we're at. It's obvious that we've been played for fools. And we ask for it in a lot of ways. We ask for it because of our acquiescence and complacency, and because we would never question anything. We just accepted their bullshit stories, their lies, and we went back to watching TV and playing our sports and going to the bars and going swimming and getting in our boats. You know, they had all kinds of toys for us to placate us like little children. Here's Susie, here's a new rattle for you, and Billy, here's a new bicycle. Go on, now go out and play and leave us adults to run the show. Don't worry. The Federal Reserve's good. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, that's lies. You go out and play with your new toys. Kids, go ahead. We'll take care of it. Yeah, I'm Woodrow Wilson. I got your back. Colonel House? Oh, don't worry about him. He's a friend of mine. Yeah, he's a Jewish friend of mine. Don't worry about Colonel House. Yeah. I got your back here. Oh, okay. Same thing with FDR. Well, you can't have gold. I'll give you $20 per ounce for your gold, but it's now illegal. Me and my Jewish friends, it's illegal for you to have gold. So I'll give you $20. You got to give me all your gold, because you know we'll put you in prison if we found out you keep some of that gold. And then years later, when they got all the gold, oh, okay, now you can have some gold, but it's going to cost you $30 an ounce to get the same gold back. Gee, who made all that profit, I wonder? Oy vey, rubbing their hands in the changing houses, just like Benjamin Franklin told us. And that's the other thing. As the Titanic's going down, folks, as the Jews ran us right into the iceberg, and the Jews are telling you they're going to come with a ship real soon to save you, I got news for you. They're not coming to save you. They're here to enslave you. So not only do you need to figure out who your individual leaders are going to be, whether you want to call them a monarch, a general, a commander, whatever, it doesn't matter. Whoever the leaders are that you're going to follow. The other thing that you need to do is make sure that there is no Jew allowed in your organization at any level. None. None. For one reason, you cannot take the chance. Look at how many people in Washington, their careers ended because their defense teams had Jews in them. As one guy told me many years ago, having a Jew in your defense team, you might as well have an enemy spy. Same thing with your government. Allowing Jews into your government, you just put the enemy spies in the inner workings of your government, especially your intelligence agencies. And the intelligence agencies and the Pentagon are riddled with Jews, riddled with these people. And you wonder why nothing good comes of it. You wonder why they lie in front of the from the Senate committees, and they lie in front of the camera, and they lie, and they lie, and they lie. And they don't ever get punished. That's because we have to do the punishing. Oh, I know, you don't think we're worthy of it. Oh, Dan, they're much smarter than we are. They've got PhDs, and they got master's degrees, and they went, you know, they served in the military, and they were FBI agents and all. They're so much better than we are. Oh, really? Well, you might think highly of them, but I think they're lower than whale shit. That's my opinion of them. Because it doesn't take much intelligence and integrity to be a spy or to be a traitor to my country. That's what these people are. They're not here for our benefit. They're here to enrich and empower their masters, these international banking Jews at the top. Okay? Let's put it in simple terms. That's what you're up against. The international Jewish cartel that runs this whole world like it's a great big crime syndicate. That's what you're up against. Okay? And I'm not the only one saying this. I got a whole list of books here if you cared to read. And many of them are by Jewish authors, by the way, that have said exactly what I just said, including Robert Friedman, who wrote The Red Mafia, How the Russian Mob Invaded the United States. And remember, Russian mob, anytime you hear Russian mob, that's a euphemism for the Jewish mob out of Russia. Okay? Just like the sex slave trade and the organ harvesting that's going on and the pedophilia worldwide. Who do you think's running all that? Okay? Who do you think's running all that? Could it be the same people that run the porn industry and the pornography industry and the drug industry in America, Canada, and Europe? Same people. Yeah, and it's kind of odd. They all have Jewish faces and Jewish names. Oh, Dan, you can't say that. Really? Why? Because it's true? Or because it's just too much for you to handle? We're too late in the game for me to care about your sensitivities, folks. I really don't give a damn, to be quite honest. If you're at this point, you haven't figured this out, you're either part of the problem or you're just not capable. It's as simple as that. In either case, you're my enemy. You take your part over there with the goats. You take your part with the terrors. I'll stick over here with the wheat. Yeah, the wheat might not be a very large number, but I'll stick with the wheat because I see what's going to happen to the tares. I've read the scripture, what it says happens to the tares, and I can see the righteous remnant when they get ignited, when they finally get off their asses. It's going to be a bloody mess. There will be no mercy for these people, especially when the truth comes out. Okay? Ralph says he left the Trump train after the 2019 State of the Union. Yeah, everybody wanted to give him a chance because there was hope. Okay? He knew how to play the crowd. Okay? He is an actor. Remember that. Okay? He's an actor. He's one of them. Hypocrite. A hypocrite and actor is the same thing. Hypocrites is the Greek word for actor, and that's where we get the word hypocrite from. They're actors. They're all players. Everything in politics is a staged production, folks. Real men that can make a real change don't get involved in politics because it's dirty, it's ugly, and it's full of fakery and hypocrites. But you people follow it because your flat screens, your little gods with the flat screen told you. And the teachers down at the schoolhouse that they indoctrinated you into communism through told you, oh, this is the best system. Really? Really? That's funny. No system like this ever was talked about in Scripture. No system like this was ever done in any other nation that survived with righteous leadership and accomplished anything. So why do we have to believe it? Oh, because you're in school, and if you want a passing grade, Johnny and Susie, you've got to give the answers that I tell you you have to give. So when I tell you socialism's good, you're not going to get a passing grade unless you say so. And Mommy and Daddy, they're too busy to come down and check what we're doing here at the schoolhouse. So we'll make sure you come out with a very good Marxist background. So you'll be a good little boy and girl. You guys will put your hair in a bun and you'll be little snowflakes out there, little cuck boys. Oh, you're such social justice warriors until the bullets fly. You're brave men when there's 10 to 15 of you beating up one poor soul out there on the streets. What are you going to do when there's real warriors carrying weapons, knives, pistols, rifles, clubs? What are you going to do when our guys are pissed off coming after you? Say, it's your turn right now. You're having a field day because the Bolsheviks have us hogtied and our people haven't learned to think for themselves and act for themselves yet. But the tide will turn eventually. It has to. I had another quote I wanted to give you. This is by Taylor Caldwell in her book, The Devil's Advocate. Now listen to what Taylor said. On the day when you again allow abominable men to confiscate your freedom, your money, your lives, your private property, your manhood, and your sacred honor in the name of security or national emergency, you will die. And never again shall you be free. If plotters again destroy your republic, they will do it by your greedy and arrogant assent, by your disregard of your neighbor's rights, by your apathy and your stupidity. You were brought to the brink of universal death and darkness because we had become that most contemptible of people, an angerless one. Notice that. That's a word you haven't heard in a while, right? Angerless, meaning you don't ever have rage, or as William Bennett said in his book, The Death of Outrage, the most contemptible of people, an angerless one. You don't get upset about anything. Keep alive and vivid all of your righteous anger against traitors, against those who would abrogate your constitution, against those who would lead you to wars with false slogans and cunning appeals to your patriotism. Is that the American and Canadian and Australian and New Zealand and European white guys or not? Taylor Caldwell nailed it. Henry David Thoreau said, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. That's us. That's us. We got 1,000 of us out there. Oh, we need to have a demonstration in Richmond for the Second Amendment. We need to go down and protest this COVID nonsense and bullshit. We need to we got 1,000 different directions. So much so that we don't have enough people to support all these things. We got 1,000 whacking at the branches to the one person who's striking at the root. And we've talked about that root tonight. Okay? Instead of all of us trying to stop all the nonsense, why don't we take a look at the root? What's the Bible say the root of all evil is? Oh, that's right. The love of money. The love of money. Do you think there's a solution in there? Just maybe? Since the love of money is the root of all evil, do you think we could find the root to this tree if we followed the money trail back? Because all of the money supporting all of the things that we're talking about comes from the same group of people, the same usual suspects, the same Bolsheviks in the banking industry with their billions and billions and billions of dollars. And now it's all fictitious money. It's electronic money, so they can generate as much as they want. And you simpletons will still sell your businesses, sell your service to them, sell your souls to them, sell out your country to them for electronic shekels. And you know what's really interesting? All of these fat cat politicians and corporate leaders and clergy and all the rest that are doing the bidding for these communists, once they come to power, all they got to do is press a button on a computer and all of that money vanishes. Isn't that funny? You want to talk about poetic justice. All of these sycophants who are kissing up to these Jews, these Bolsheviks, and accepting their electronic digits, once the treason has been completed and they have subdued the earth, every one of the useful idiots that helped them out will be penniless. Not only will they be penniless, but they're going to require you to be tagged and vaccinated, so you'll be traced no matter where you go. And once they don't need you anymore, all of that bribery money that they stuffed in your pockets will vanish, and then they'll put you up against the wall and shoot you, because that's what communists do. Poetic justice. I've had a lot of people say, Dan, you know, they might do that to you. Yeah, you're right. They might. It's certainly within their doing, because they've murdered plenty of people, plenty of good people, people far better than me. But I'm not going to lay around every night or all day and worry about it. Because guess what? Death comes for us all. It's only a matter of time. It's what I do with my days. Every single day that the Father gives me to breathe, what do I do with that day that He gave me? I'm not worried about what my enemy might do to me. I'm going to use every opportunity and every weapon the Father gives me to fight my enemy. But you see, they want that fear as part of the motivation for you to sell out to them. If nothing else, this insanity we see going on right now tells you how many people are so weak that they would sell out their own soul and their own family for a few digital shekels. It also tells you how many people have absolutely no backbone whatsoever. Spineless jellyfish. Spineless. Which is the vast majority. Now, in the midst of all that, there is a growing remnant what I call the Ezekiel 37 army that's growing out of that valley of dead and dry bones. And when the time is right, that is the army that will take up weapons of war against this creature, this monster, this beast that is trying to enslave all of mankind. And personally, it's my prayer that I'll live to see it on this earth. I would like to be part of that. But if I'm not, it doesn't matter. I'll be on the other side. I get to go see a lot of my good friends and my relatives I've lost, my baby sister. So you're not going to hurt me either way it goes. If I'm here, I have to put up with the frustration of trying to deal with Israelites who are the most stiff-necked, arrogant, complacent, lazy people walking on this earth. They don't even care about their own kind, which is absolutely astounding to me. Don't even care about their own kind. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. How could you not care about your own race? You care about other people's races. You don't consider it evil for blacks, browns, Jews, and others to promote their own kind, but God forbid that you want to promote your race, the race that has created most of the accomplishments in this world, according to Charles Murray in his book, Human Accomplishment. Okay, 98% of the things that we all enjoy today was created by our race. And yet you want to walk away from it. You don't want to be associated with it. It's mind-numbing. It's absolutely astounding. Ralph has a quote here. I think it's Euripides. Those whom God wishes to destroy, he first makes mad. Boy, that is a good quote. If these people aren't mad, meaning insane, nobody is. Now, we talked about the image of the beast, and I'm serious, folks. That's exactly what these flat screens represent. They are the images controlled by the beast. That's what that Bible verse is talking about. The images coming across that screen are propaganda. It's all propaganda. Now, we talked about the monarchy, meaning a singular leader. Okay? Take that monarchy. When you hear that word monarchy, it just means a singular leader. That's all it means. It does not mean a dictator. It doesn't mean a dictator for life. You're listening to the Jewish bullshit. All right? When the scripture is talking about a monarch or a king, it's talking about the military and social leader who does what he needs to do for blood and soil. That's what we're talking about here. As the old saying goes, one bad general is better than two good generals. Are you hearing me? One bad general is still better than two good ones, because the two good ones will end up arguing and nothing gets accomplished. All right? Same thing with the head of a household. That's the man's job. That's the man's job. Head of the household. I got a caller. I'll get you in just a second. So, singular leader, working with the militia, working with the sheriffs who actually know their constitutional duty to we the people, and working with the true shepherds of the flocks that actually know the words of our Father and obey them and teach them to the people. Everything they're driving us with now is fear-based, and fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Remember that, false evidence appearing real. There were been some very good reports put out by the Crow House, which is Max Egan. If you go to the YouTube channel, the Crow House, he's also on BitChute. And same thing with Corbett, C-O-R-B-E-T-T, Corbett Report. That's also on BitChute and on YouTube. When the righteous lead, the people rejoice. And when the wicked rule, the people moan. Moan. That's what we got. We got a lot of moaning going on. All right. Well, we'll take this caller. if this software works. 813, you're on the air.
Good evening, Dan.
Oh.
Been a long time. Been a long time. I listen, but I haven't called in. This is Cigar Jimmy from Bank vs. UTV, and again, I've been listening to your monologue, but I guess your presentation with great intent. And I have to admit, I did watch the event last evening, in that I feel that watching what my enemy up to is good for my position in this fight. And from the old days of us doing shows and me calling in frequently, I take notes as you speak so that I can comment intelligently and get the most accomplished in the least amount of time. The one thing that did draw my attention to your comment is and to an email that I received from the group a few weeks ago indicating that the military was going to become involved under the guise of this vaccine. And I spent a lot of time speaking with trusted folks today on that very thing. And, at first glance, it's the military is best suited for logistics. And I said, right now, in my opinion, Amazon. Doesn't mean I'm a Bezos fan. But if I was going to pick somebody to do logistics to deliver vaccines to every city, I'd probably go to UPS, FedEx, or Amazon. Another argument was, the military isn't really doing much now, so let's use them. And I call Bolshevik on that. I guess my point I'm trying to make is, and it ties to your end of not being able to fly or, frankly, walk into a department store or really move freely about the community without having proof that you've been vaccinated. And I'm here to tell you right here on air, you come at me, somebody's going out of here dead. And that's not a threat, that's a promise. I am not taking any vaccinations. Another breaking news, the not the FDIC, oh, crap, I'm getting old and my memory fails me. The Banking Regulation Committee basically told all big banks this morning that you are not allowed to buy your own stock back until the beginning of the year. So that fits into your point about buying my gold for $20 and then turning around and allowing me to have it back for $30 later. So if you know anything about the game called the stock market, they drive up the price of their stock, people buy it, and then they crash it, and they turn around and buy it low and themselves. Well, mm-hmm. That's been frozen. And I could go on and on and on, and I don't want to be a hog on the time, but I guess what I wanted to ask you in closing, and I'll either take your answer off air or I'll be happy to stay with you, is I agree with 99.999% of your remarks this evening. And I'm still looking for the 0.0001 I don't. I just had to say that. But, and I have a sense of humor too, Dan. It's good. It was good to talk with you, and it's good to be back here. But, and I ask this when I close my shows, and I'm not expecting an answer because I've got some ideas. I agree with you. The ladies, we love you, but this is man's work. If you want to take a support position, and that's your decision. But, Dan, I fully agree that our time, since the last time you and I were on air together, and what's happened since is absolutely beyond mind-boggling. Last time we were on air together, might have been a year ago, And if either one of us would have brought up that, hey, Dan, I think in a year there's going to be a movement to defund the police departments, you would have probably thought I was batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're here. I agree with you, too. You and I share the Kabuki Theater analogy. I thought last night I was talking with another group of mine that I trust, a group of men that are at the ready. And I said, you know what, guys? I said I watched the whole thing last night for a reason. Not to be educated, not to make a decision, because I don't trust any of those clowns. I don't. And I said, you know what I walked away with, and then I woke up this morning? The whole thing looked choreographed. Just like I've said about Senate hearings. All right, man, you know, I'm going to go out there and I'm gonna grill you. Just like they did James Comey today. Mr. I can't remember, I don't know, and I take the fifth bullshit. But at the end of the exercise here, and I could go on and on and on and on and on and make examples. What do we do? Our time is beyond talk anymore. And I'm not suggesting that we sit here tonight and get locked up for conspiracy. But damn it, I'm mad. And I'm not going to take it anymore. And, you know, maybe probably a lot of people don't even know who the hell I am out there right now on this show. But at the end of the day, I've watched this. I've been on air since 2008, not as long as you. You know my background. You know my history. You know the fact that I had a good woman and cancer grabbed her. You know that, you know, I'm on a mission to help people. But at the end of the day, we have, what, 33 days? I think that they're either going to do something that's going to make 9/11 look like a kid's birthday party soon, or no matter how it turns out, of course, we're not going to wake up after election morning like we always have. And, you know, we have a president or a new president. It's going to be weeks, months. Both sides have hundreds, Dan, hundreds of attorneys working as we're having this call, figuring out finagling. We have lost this country unless we do something very, very quickly. And I am not inciting violence. I'm not recommending we pick up guns and go to the streets. Another takeaway I took last night is Biden would not acknowledge law and order and thought Antifa was a concept and not an organization. Who the hell do these people think they're talking to here?
Well, they have no respect for people.
Well, go ahead, sir.
Well, they have no respect for the average person. So you said, you know, they consider us useless eaters and cattle. So whether we understand anything or not doesn't really matter to them. They're going to do what they want to do regardless. This is all just kabuki theater, like you said.
Well, let me put it a different way. What remedies? And, you know, I agree with you, shame on us. Even the partner in our law firm says, Jim, it's our own fault. And, I say, well, wait a minute. You know, I operated, I'm 60 years old, and I operated the first 35 or 40 years of my life. I knew a lot of shenanigans were going on in the government, but it wasn't in our face. And I operated on my two favorite phrases that I've brought up on your shows before. One is perceived trust. And the other is normalcy bias, okay? And that is what we should be living under, perceived trust. Trust but verify. And once we garner trust in our systems, you were in nuclear power, you had trust in your power equipment to a certain degree, and I agree with you. You know, your management, it's profit over people. As long as I do follow the company line, you know, and I protect my bonus. That's selfish. Bullshit. Bolshevik. You asked me to watch my language, so I'm doing my best.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have got to have some remedies, a plan to protect what we have left. Maybe that's a better way to say it. But in closing, our time is as short as it could happen tomorrow. And I know even death, and, you know, our father could come back tomorrow. I get all that. But in the meantime, I've had a strong calling for years. And I have very vivid dream states that include very unique things, planes crashing, me and my peers out trying to protect the communities and things. And what is it? What is it in Revelation? What is it? Boys will have vision and men will have dreams, something to that effect.
Oh, I'll find that for you here in just a second.
Yeah, I think the young will have visions and the men or the elders or something will have dreams.
Yeah, it's in the book of Acts, chapter 2.
Oh, Acts. Thank you.
Yeah. It will be in the last days, says Father God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams.
There you go. Well, and you and I have even talked about that on you know, your shows.
Mm-hmm.
And others that I trust to do radio have also. And I air a local church here in my community on Sundays. I'm sorry I missed your invitation for last Sunday. I was going to simulcast you. But, you know, I got a copyright strike because the local church played three songs by their own in-house band or, you know, whatever.
Choir?
YouTube got me on. Well, the choir, and they have guitars and keyboards, and, you know, they were not any of the progressive, rap crap. You know, they were, you know, good Christian songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be damned, and I've been airing this, this church for about 6 months now. And I looked over at my broadcaster, and the show was taken off air due to copyright claim. And I'm thinking, well, I have permission from this church. And so I went and researched it, and it was the songs they were singing were not original by them. And they certainly didn't place a copyright claim. So probably some punk social watchdog for YouTube. And the other reason I brought that up is, Dan, they're trying to shut us up. You are doing a good decision to do it on free conference call. YouTube is just, I really have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Even what it goes on my chat room, I have to be careful. Anyway, you know, I'm going to go back to the question. I'm sure you have others that want to come in and chime in. And thank you all for the from others that are saying, hey, good to hear you back, Jimmy. I'm here, and I haven't left. Just kind of regrouped a little bit. Have matured, as we all do each day, hopefully. But, Dan, we have got to find remedies or, you know, I guess we just do the best we can by ourselves.
I think Mao Zedong, the Chinese Zionist Jew communist, said it best. I think he's the one that described the solution to our problem by using the same thing that the communists used to take over the Christian monarchies. All political power comes from the end of a rifle. Okay, it's as simple as that. The person that has the rifles makes the rules. Okay? The strong make the rules, not the weak. The strong make the rules. That's why even in the biblical text, it says that a strong man defends his home. Okay? Everything in the scripture requires men to be strong leaders. Strong in physical fitness, strong in their backbone and their integrity, and strong in their spiritual walk. Okay? They are the leaders of the household, but they're also leaders of the army and leaders of the community. It's all military. Everybody likes to think we can do this with and be nice guys. No, you can't. No, you can't. Like I said, Mao Zedong said it. All political power comes from the end of a rifle. Right now, the Democrat, Communist, Bolshevik, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, George Soros paid insurgents are using violence against us. Are they not? Okay. So
they
what
are.
Makes,
and Dan, to your point, well, right. Real quick, and I'll shut up. But to your point, gun sales, I've been watching that, are up at record amounts. There was a video of a gun show right here in Tampa where the line looked longer than the crap that people line up for one big screen TV available at Walmart, and there's 7,000 people that camp out overnight. I'm watching ammunition like a hawk, and you can't buy any ammunition. And any mailing lists that you put yourself on, you best be ready to reply and buy immediately, because there's a little bit there, and if you don't go get it, it's gone. So maybe that's something we can talk about. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you brought up a good point. And I'm not suggesting, what I am suggesting is we're out of options. And Mr. Zedong, Chairman Mao and his little red book, I'm educated in that regard as well. That's a profound statement, because, Dan, I'm a double-degreed engineer, and I'm out of options here.
Yeah, we are.
I'm out of suggestions.
That's exactly right, because we've tried everything. Well, think of it this way. The Founding Fathers started protesting the King of England in the 1600s, okay, because things had started going south that early. So their protesting was almost a century, maybe even a little bit more. The point of it is they exhausted all peaceful remedy before they took up arms. Well, we're in the exact same spot today. This evil did not happen overnight. We've been trying and trying and trying in the peaceful ways within the system. The system is broke. We've talked about that. This system is broke. That's why there are no results. You can get no good results with this system, because it's rigged. The courts are rigged. The lawyers are rigged. The government is rigged. The contractors, they use contractors to get away with a lot of their bullshit. They just hire a contractor. And the contractors will do whatever the hell they're being paid to do. They don't care. Okay, so it's criminal, it's evil, it's broke. It will not work to fix the problem. So now it gets down to basics of nature and nature's God, which says that we, as his creations, have a right to life, have a right to liberty, have a right to love our families and provide for our families and defend ourselves. We're not talking about aggression. Our people are never aggressive, but we do have a right to defend ourselves. And that's where we're at. Everybody I know is preparing a defensive posture wherever they're at. And I never discuss on a phone or over the internet any detailed plans of what these guys are going to do, because I don't want to know, and nobody else should know either. They're organizing at the local level. They're forming fire teams and militia groups, sometimes within a family, sometimes within neighbors. It's the people that you can trust, and preparing to defend themselves. That's what it's going to start out that way. Now, there's going to be a spark at some point that this thing's going to become a conflagration. Okay? But in the beginning, right now, we have the right as individuals to defend ourselves. And everybody I know, especially when it comes to this poison that they want to stick in my arm, I will defend my right to not put that poison in my arm. I will defend it to the death. That's my right. And everybody I know is going to defend that right to the death. It'll either be my death or theirs, or maybe both of us. But it will, there will be death involved, because they are not going to stick that poison in me or anybody I love without a fight. Just not going to happen. Okay, we've been backing up for generations. I'm 67 years old. I've watched my race back up my entire life. They never stand up for anything. Well, guess what? You'd better draw a line in the sand right now, folks, because if you put that poison in your body, you have now condemned yourself in the eyes of the Almighty and in the eyes of your fellow white citizens. Your race.
I fully concur. Yes.
Right.
Yes, and I want to disclaim, I am not suggesting, promoting, planning anything that could be construed as conspiracy to commit violence. I just have to say that. And I agree, it's a shame that our brethren cannot get together and discuss a defense plan.
Well, they are, you know, they are, but they're doing it off air.
Well, exactly. And, you know, you and I have had that opportunity in the past, which has been great. My problem is a lot of my trusted individuals are not next door or down the street. They're across the state or across the country. But, Dan, I'm to the point where I don't care anymore who's listening. And I mean that with, you know, a grain of caution as well. But it is far, far down the line from the last time I appeared on your call bridge. And I see the end of the road. And if we don't do something, you know, you cut your foot and you ignore it and it gets infected and you try to put a little peroxide on it, but then it starts to turn red and then your foot starts to turn green. And by the time you go and really seek out a solution, they take your foot off. I mean, I'm just pulling that out of my assets here, but we are far past the point of no return, sir. And I am capable of fighting my way out of a paper bag with double blindfolds. But it just concerns me that that clock is running out. And with that said, you know, my patience are thin. My ideas are great, I think. Can't do it alone. I'm sure there's a lot of men out there, as you suggested, that probably feel the same way. And I do agree that we have the duty, not just the right, the God-given right, but we have the duty to protect this country and ourselves. You know, people say, what is it? We have the right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. Well, that's not the way, that wasn't the way it was written. It was life, liberty, and property. Go look.
Right. You're right.
You know, and the other thing I like to educate people on, you know, I do work in the real estate legal profession. Bankruptcies and foreclosures are ramping up again, and here's a quick factoid for you folks to check on. You know, when you're in the court of law and the bailiff says all rise when the judge walks in, that's not to respect the judge. even though their egotistical asses think so, that came from the time that the judge carried the Bible into the courtroom that was used to swear in witnesses. All Rise was not for the judge. It was for the Bible entering
right.
the courtroom. Did you
that's
know that?
That's correct. Yep, that's correct. Yep.
The only time I see a judge carrying a Bible in is never. The only thing I see him carrying in, and maybe from behind the scenes, they're wearing their shorts and flip flops under that robe, and they're probably carrying a tablet or a laptop. And I won't go off on that rant, but folks, we have been boofed. Judges legislating from the bench with their egos and their pompous attitude of this robe makes me, you know, in charge of your life. I'm sick of that in my profession as well. Anyway, I got up on a rabbit hole. But,
yeah.
You know,
well,
what do we do, Dan?
Well, we're doing it right now, Jimmy, but you're right. We're running out of precious time. Go time is right around the corner, but in relation to what you just said, there's two of the founding fathers that were quoted most often. They had quotes that support what you just said. John Locke said that government has no other end but the preservation of property. And Thomas Paine said it is the duty of the patriot to protect his country from its government. So,
amen.
That's exactly right. So we have been conditioned through the public school system and the electronic toilets to think that government is our master and they can do no wrong and we must obey them and we must fear them, when just the opposite is actually what should happen. And, you know, there's another good quote I have, and I don't remember who said it, but the quote is, everything you've ever wanted in this life is on the other side of fear. Okay? They have to have us afraid. They get energy from our fear. They get power from our fear. They control us by fear. You want to hurt
COVID,
them?
COVID, diapers
lose
on our faces
your
is
fear.
A good example.
What's that?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Dan. I get passionate, and sometimes I get rude and interrupt, but, you know, you nailed it. And the latest is the COVID scam. And I love your term. I really have not looked at it that way, although I have seen these ass clowns driving down the road by themselves. And, you know, I made a joke on my show, a couple days ago, and ladies, forgive me, but I said it's like me sleeping alone with a condom on. I mean, you know, well, am I wrong? I mean,
No.
You're right. And I see these clowns out there, Dan, on the Veterans Expressway, and they're all by themselves in the car unless they got the lady in their lap, and excuse me again, ladies. But, I mean, people have... wearing a mask is... Oh, and if I walked out a racetrack the other day. I went and bought some gas, and I went inside to get up a couple items. And I walked in, and I'm not being racist here, but this big black guy's walking in, and I had no mask on. I do not wear a mask at all. Now, I have them in my car, and oh, by the way, they're made in frickin' China.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure that one out. But I walked out, and I held the door open for this black gentleman, and he looks at me, and he goes, where's your mask, white boy? And, oh, Dan, you know I'm Scottish. And, man, I'll tell you what, God took over and said, Jim, just walk to your car. Don't even acknowledge him.
Wow.
And I went out, and actually I'd gotten my items inside before I topped off my car. And I'm going to leave, and I'm thinking, I'll top off your car tomorrow. And then I'm thinking, bullshit. I pulled in, and I topped off my car, and you know that guy sat there leaning on his hood, and he had a nice F-250 pickup. And he just stared at me. And I think he was waiting for me to pick, you know, to have, and I didn't. I took care of my business, and then I went kind of out of my way to make sure I wasn't being followed, and then I came back to my office.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, little stories. I'm sure we all have them. But where's your mask, white boy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, anyway, but, you know, back to your point. They have indoctrinated us. They have economically imprisoned us. A real quick story, I did a case for a guy about our age. He has a mortgage on his house, 27 years with Wells Fargo, never missed a payment. And come March, he couldn't go to work anymore. And then he had to sell his inventory, and then he had to close his business and lay off his employees. Well, they started foreclosure on him after 60 days. 26 years of perfect sterling payments, and I verified all that. And I was able to finally, which I don't know if I have the strength to do this anymore for a lot of people like I used to, I finally got the bank to, which is why my show is named Bank Versus You, because they're scumbags. I finally got them to do an interest-only forbearance from April through next March, remove the blemish from his credit report, and after that, he's on his own. But Dan, he's got a 30-year mortgage with 26-plus months payments, done on time, never missed a heartbeat, never missed his taxes, nothing.
Yeah.
And again, I know I'm kind of straying off the track here, but people, we're in trouble. I could go on and on with stories of my observations in my life. We don't have time for it, and I think I made my points. We're at a time, and I pray myself for the solution. And unfortunately, the answers I'm getting are something I can't go into detail here on this phone. But it's back to what Mr. Satung said.
Yeah. Yeah. And Henry's listening tonight. He says, I personally think that once the forced vaccinations begin, individuals resisting and being killed for it will create the impetus our race needs. And I can see that happening. Here's the point I want people to understand. Everything, all these issues that we're talking about represent the 1,000 people that are whacking at the branches of the tree of evil that Henry David Thoreau talked about. And the part that we need to stop doing is stop whacking away at these branches and let's figure out how we can kill the tree. We need to kill this tree. Okay? This tree has Zionist roots, and they are the enemies of this country and the white race. That's been proven, all right? That is proven by their own writings, their own sayings, and many, many prestigious military officers and researchers over the years. So many that it's indisputable. The Zionist Bolshevik communists are the enemies of the white race and all mankind, because once the white race has been subdued, what do you think is going to happen to these other races? Because the Jews hate everybody that's not a Jew. They think every race is here to be their slaves. They've said that in their writings and in their speeches. So why doesn't mankind start focusing on the root? Because if we can figure out how to kill this tree, chop it down and burn it, all these problems go away. There'll be no more face diapers.
I have a name for the project. Project Roundup. Doesn't Roundup work through the leaves and the root system or the stem system to go kill the weed?
That's actually a pretty good name. Operation Roundup.
Well, it is, and it's the science of Roundup, and I'm not a fan of Roundup, and I actually just bought 7 gallons of it because you know what's going on. I won't share it on air, but I have some of my land that needs to be exfoliated, if you will, I'm not looking forward to applying it, but, you know, I've got the protection and the masks, and, you know, there is a purpose in life for breathing filters, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Putting down Roundup or, you know, walking in the courthouse and you can't stand the stench. But, and again, that's my sense of humor coming out. But, you know, back to the point, the mask alone is a social sign of compliance.
Right.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see some ass clown driving down the road by himself in a mask, that is evidence that their plan is working. And again, cool. I'm lecturing again. But yeah, Project Roundup. I mean, we've got to kill the bad tree, and we have to preserve the tree of liberty.
Amen.
Because we need a place to hang Hillary, Comey, real quick too. I like to see what the enemy's up to. Comey was drilled today again, and again it was Kabuki theater, you know, and it was virtual, and he was sitting in front of his U.S. flag in the back, and you know he was all casual, like he just came off the tennis court, and you know 99% of his answers were, "I don't recall." And I don't remember.
Right.
And again, Lindsey Graham drilled him, but like you and I have talked about, and you mentioned earlier, you know, for all we know, it's like, all right, Jim, I'm going to ask you this, and you react this way, and I'm going to be a little hard on you, but when it's all over with, you and I will go play a round of golf, and I'll buy the drinks afterwards. I mean, I think the latter is really what's going on. I think last night's, I don't call it a debate at all. It was not a debate. It was like two high school bullies on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
And I just the whole thing looks scripted, man.
It is.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's all Kabuki
anyway,
theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all Kabuki theater. So, but yeah.
Maybe it's time for me to sponsor another meeting in Tampa. So maybe ponder that and give me a call tomorrow. And you know, maybe it's time to have a get the boys together again. I don't know, Dan. You know, again, I want to say it in case we're being listened to by the spooks. I am not inciting, suggesting, or recommending any cause of action here whatsoever to especially include any kind of violence or harm to any human being.
Well,
but on the other hand,
right.
I'm not going to sit back here and watch this country go down at the hands of these sea suckers.
Right.
Fill in the
well,
blank.
Yeah,
all right.
I've told people for years, and I've never once held back from saying that I will commit violence on anybody trying to do violence to me or the people I love. I'll say that till the day I die, and I'm not going to try to justify it to anybody. Because these people are coming after us, so I don't bother anybody. You leave me alone, I don't bother anybody. But if you're going to come onto my property and threaten violence against me or the people I love or care for, well, then you must expect violence back, period.
I
if you
say
don't,
that openly on my show.
Right.
I do. If you come on my land, you breach my no trespassing sign, I've got plenty of warnings, to include a no-knock sign on my front door, my home, and my office. And I'm going to send you some pictures of my new toy I just received yesterday, and I got it ready for flight today. I will drop your ass dead if you come on my land threatening my well-being on this property. I will. I don't have a problem saying that at
right.
all.
Right.
It's my God-given duty and right. So I'm just suggesting that I'm not suggesting that we meet and form a plan to overthrow anything or conspire to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a group of people conspiring to take down the Christian Constitutional Republic known as the United States of America.
Absolutely.
And replace it with a communist, socialist, top-down government and top-down hierarchy, which is tantamount to treason. And treason comes with a capital crime. It is a capital crime,
death.
Which means death. So, you know, they
death
can
by hanging.
They can play games.
Yes, sir.
They can play games all they want, but if they are part of the treasonous communist takeover of America, then they deserve to die, period. Okay? If some people are afraid to say that out there in whatever land, that's their problem, okay? Because my founding fathers bled the ground red to give me this heritage, and it was passed on to us to preserve it for our posterity, and shame on us
if
we don't
do it. And for our legacy.
That's right.
And for our legacies. And Dan, right here in Tampa, actually it was in St. Pete Beach Drive. It went viral. It's all over even the Washington Post there, this video. You know, that's my hometown over there, and that's where I'm moving back to here in the coming months. And Beach Drive has some very quaint little bistros, and they have moved most of their dining outside on the sidewalks. And, of course, the protesters have been down there. Well, on this video, a man and his girl were sitting enjoying their dinner, and this punk walks up, pulls out a chair, sits down, picks up, it looked like a beer, and then a fat-ass woman sits down, sorry, ladies, and starts to drink the wine bottle that was on the table from the bottle. And then a bunch of other people surrounded this table and demanded that these people put their fist in the air and recite Black Lives Matter. There was not a cop in sight. Oh, no, I'll send you it went all over the place. Even Fox commented on it. And Dan Bongino, is a friend of Tampa Bay. Commented on it. And you know what, Dan? I called my guys in the next morning, and it really rubbed my hair the wrong way. And Dan, my reaction was, if I have a concealed carry permit, I'd have stood up and shot that punk in the belly, was my verbal reaction to my group that I talked to. And of course, that wouldn't have done me any good. But the general consensus of the guys that I'm talking to is when we start dropping these chimps in the street, and I don't mean just blacks, chimps. They're monkeys. They're uneducated piles of dog shit. Excuse me. And when we start, when somebody starts defending the table, and that's not the first time this has happened. I'm sure there's all kinds of videos where these punks walk into restaurants and start drinking. There's one where a woman walks up, takes a couple sips of somebody's beer, and then throws it on them and stands there knowing full well that there's really nothing that can be done to them. And again, I could go on and on and on. I've had enough of this. And my God, even law enforcement, these guys are going to work, the good cops, afraid that if they do their job, they might end up in jail that night for doing their job and then prosecuted for homicide or for doing their job.
Well,
when do we say enough's enough? And I yield, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it's again, it's all back to that same root. That same root is using their ill-gotten gains through the control of the banking system to pay for the prosecutors, the media, and everybody that's making all this possible. They're also paying for these rioters and protesters that are pulling this shit off. All right? So it's the same root. We don't need to go out and do anything. We just need to gather up these people that represent the root of this problem and deal with them.
Harris leads up a GoFundMe fund that is there to bail these chimps out, Dan.
Yeah.
It's there. Go look. It's there. Kamala Harris.
Well, she's a communist.
Oh, no doubt.
Well, yeah, they're all communists. Okay, that's why I say the people have to start at the local level, figuring out the people in their local area that are part of the root. Because we're going to have to take this root out of this tree out. That's the only solution that will bring sanity back to this world. And the book of Obadiah
Amen.
Supports that. Ezekiel supports that. And Malachi supports that. And we got, I guess Henry's got something he wants to say. So let's see what he's got here. Henry, can you hear me?
Yeah. You got me?
Yeah, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I just had just one take from the clown show last night that stuck with me. It was at that. It was kind of later on towards the end of the debate. I don't know if you remember it, but Mike Wallace tried to put Trump in a corner, and I'm not defending Trump because he's a scumbag, but at one point he tried to make Trump condemn the white supremacists along with Antifa. In other words, equating
yep.
white supremacy to what Antifa has been doing in front of the eyes of the whole country. It was it was so ridiculous. I mean, and no mention of BLM either, but he wanted Trump to condemn white supremacists along with Antifa. Trump was a little reluctant to, and I was glad to see that he actually was a little reluctant to do that. But, I mean, what would someone please tell me what white supremacist groups they're referring to? I mean, KKK? How many members of KKK are there today? Proud Boys? And the last thing is the ultimate hypocrisy of that question from that bozo, Mike Wallace, coming from Mike Wallace, of all people, to point to make a point about white supremacy when he's a member of the only supremacy this country has, and that's the Jewish supremacy.
Correct.
It just made me want to barf.
Yeah, correct. But they're playing out the Kabuki theater in line with for their playbook, and this is a Zionist communist takeover. So why wouldn't Wallace, being a Jew, not follow suit and play along?
Yeah.
Just like Biden is a Zionist and Trump is a Zionist. They both have publicly proclaimed themselves Zionists.
Right.
So the whole thing is Kabuki theater. I mean,
absolutely.
It's just all bullshit.
Yep.
It's all bullshit.
Only people that with two or more brain cells can see through that nonsense. Unfortunately, there's not a high percentage of the populace today that have two or more brain cells that are working, I guess, because a lot of them fall for that nonsense.
Well, I like what Sun Tzu said in his book, The Art of War. Okay, if you want 100% guarantee to win in the battlefield, you must know your enemy and you must know yourself.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that this program we're trying to do is get the white man to know himself, know who he is, what our destiny is, what our limitations are, but also what our strengths are. Know ourselves and correctly identify our enemy, the root of this tree.
Right.
Okay.
May I add, Dan, we also need to understand our duty of responsibility.
Correct. Correct.
Dan, what you just said, I've said this, I think, numerous times on your program, although I haven't been on in quite a while. But the failure of our people, or the failure, I should say, of the people that we look to in, I hate to say it, in alt media or whatever, but the people who are in positions of influence, who have followings that are supposedly, you know, conservatives, who fail to call out the root cause, who fail to name the Jew. It just continues to go on and on and on, and it's the most frustrating thing. You're one of the few people who does it on a consistent, regular basis, and I can't name on one hand to the other people who do, and that's just not enough.
Well, the good news is we are having an influence, okay? Because I spend every day tracking different channels and different platforms and reading all the comments. I don't read every single one, but I read a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that somehow, some way, the things that we talk about on here is getting out to a lot of these different organizations. Now, they're careful on how they word what they're going to say, because they're not as bold as we are, but they're not filled with the Spirit the same way we are. They're they see the logic of what we're saying.
Yeah.
They are noticing that they like to call them the usual suspects.
Yeah.
They are starting to put the dots together on who the usual suspects are. They just don't talk about the fact they just happen to all be Jews.
Yep.
But they're getting it.
You're right.
They just haven't got a backbone yet that's quite up to the standards of a true Israelite that walks in with our Father. So, but they're getting there. They're taking baby steps right now.
Yeah.
And you're part, you, Jimmy, me, the rest of our guests and everything, we're part of what the Bible calls the elect. We're part of his avant-garde force. That's our job, to go out there as the tip of the spear and poke our people's comfort zone and bust it wide open. It's our job, and it's a tough job, because we're out there in front, and we don't have a lot of friends and allies except each other and the Holy Spirit. But it's our job to go out there and puncture that comfort zone and get them activated, get them energized, get them awake, because it's coming. And as Jimmy said, we're running out of time, precious time right now. They're getting ready to pull the trigger on this one. And this is going to be the big one.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I hope people understand it. This is it, okay? We don't have to look for decades down. No. You're at the end of the age right now. We've arrived. We're living what the prophets told us about right now.
Yeah.
You have to understand that, folks.
Yeah.
It's here. It's in our face. It's right now.
Geez, the last time I heard Jimmy, by the way, welcome back, Jimmy.
I remember
the last time I heard Jimmy on your program and the kinds of things we were talking about, where we were in this big picture. I think Jimmy already mentioned it. What has happened in the last several months, or actually since early spring this year, compared to what the kinds of things we were talking about a year ago today, we would have never foreseen the onslaught, the suddenness, and the overwhelming nature of the way that they're coming down on us now and forcing this upon us. It's just, I don't think any of us could have predicted that it would have been such a big, bold, global thing. It just testifies to what you just said, that we are there now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're living it. We're living it.
Yeah.
Let's see if I got. Oh, okay. Yeah. Jimmy's call got dropped, so that's why he left. But we're witnessing it. We did talk about this in general terms for a long time. You know, we could tell that this thing was building up pressure. Something's got to give, blah, blah, blah. We did talk about that. Nobody could have predicted that they would have used a fake medical emergency. But you do have to give them credit. It's brilliant because they know, because they collect so much data. They've been mining the data off the Internet. That's what they wanted it for. Remember, DARPA invented the Internet. This was their way to gather all this intel, and they started things like Facebook and things like that, not so much because they want to spy on individuals as far as their own private lives. They want to see how we react.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you something. What they have been doing is, like with Zika and West Nile and all these fake ginned up things like the Oklahoma City, the marathon thing, Sandy Hook, What they're doing is they're ginning all these things up, and then they're watching for the reactions. That's what they're mining. Yep. How many people figured it out? How many people drank the Kool-Aid and believed the whole line of bullshit? And that's what they've been feeding into these quantum computers so that they could figure out what's the best scenario to take these people down. And the computer spit it out, a fake pandemic.
Medical emergency. Yeah.
A medical emergency. Right there you go, man. Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. Gives them everything they want. Okay? You can't deny it because you don't have the tools to test it, and most people don't have any kind of IQ even close to. Most doctors don't even know the true history of viruses. You have to go back and read about the contemporary of Louis Pasteur, Bacon. I think his name was Bacon. He actually was plagiarized by Louis Pasteur. Pasteur was a fraud.
Yeah.
Okay. Bacon figured out it was the terrain, not the germ. There is no such thing as germs causing our problems. Our problems are generated within our own bodies. You take care of the terrain and you take care of the health. The germs and viruses aren't what's causing the problem. But Louis Pasteur is the one they forced on us because that gave them power. Because now they had a boogeyman to go after you. And so, you know, it started way back then in the 1800s. So here again, the quantum computer comes along and says, look, we're mining all this data. We can track how many, the percentage of people that agree with it, don't agree with it, that can figure it out, how many people will acquiesce to us. And they pretty much had it modeled out right. They figured it, you know, they come up with a scare tactic. They get the talking heads on TV to just bemoan it, including our people at Fox, which is fake news, as well as the rest of them. And they just keep pounding it into their heads. They realize that most people don't have the stamina to resist it.
Right.
They just don't.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, it's working for them up to a point. But we have to remember, this is a war our father is also involved in. Okay. Our enemy wants to take over all of mankind in this world, turn it into hell, because that's just who they are. Our side, we have the King of Kings on our side, and we have things working for us that most of our people don't even realize.
Amen.
So this is not a war that's going to end peacefully and quietly, not until Messiah comes. Everything in the book says it's going to be violent. The kingdom will come in with violence, and it sure as hell will, because these sons of bitches are not going to give up. That should be evident to anybody that even has a molecule of brain that still functions. They're not going to give up. They've made it very plain. And so the only thing going to stop these wicked people are righteous people that are armed and willing to fight. Would you agree or not?
100%. And that's the way. That's the only way I would want it to be. After learning of their evil ways and some of the sadistic, satanic, ritualistic stuff that they're involved in, how could anybody want it to be anything but a nasty, nasty, repulsive act of God to help us defeat these evil pieces of shit?
Yeah. Well, I got news for people. They have nothing good planned for you and me.
That's right.
Okay? If people say, well, it sounds like you're advocating violence, Dan. Well, let me tell you something. When you got a group of people that are armed to the teeth and they've got billions of Jewish dollars behind them, and they've said that they're going to kill you and your family and enslave you and do every kind of nasty thing imaginable to you, what the hell is the natural response to that? If it's not return violence for violence.
Right.
Absolutely, I advocate violence. If people are going to bring violence to my doorstep, you better believe you're going to get violence back.
Oh,
I mean, it's just idiocy to think that you can't.
Oh.
These people have openly said what they're going to do to our country. They've talked about burning the country down. They've talked about putting white men and women and Christians in gulags, just like the Jews did back 100 years ago in Russia. It's the same history.
Yeah. It's open too. It's wide open. The statements are right out there, and still, so many of our people are so oblivious to it. It's just beyond. It just shows the level of brainwashing that's taking place on the majority of our people. It's unfortunate, but well, I guess there's only going to be a remnant anyway, so it is what
Well,
it is.
yeah. Good news, and Ralph mentioned it, and in Ralph, you must be on the same wavelength because I had already called up Psalm 149. Let me read Psalm 149 real quick. Praise Yahweh, sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints, or his called out ones. Let Jacob Israel rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion, you Aryans, be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with tambourine and harp. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Are you paying attention, men? He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds. May the high praises of Elohim God be in their mouths. And a two-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. All his saints have this honor. Praise Yah. There it is in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what I'm hanging on, both Jimmy and Henry, is the fact that no matter how glum and bleak it looks, we're on the winning side. We are his battle axe and weapons of war. As Psalm 149 says, we are the ones who praise him with our mouth, but we have a two-edged sword in our hand. And come hell or high water, we will take this sword and we will cut down the wicked when the day comes. And if they want to bring it to our doorstep, then that's the day. But there's a day coming when our people are going to rise up and we're going to go forth in mass and hunt these sons of bitches down. That day is coming. So let them puff up and rattle their sabers all they want. Their day of reckoning is coming, and the saints will have their say, and they will be hunted down. This world is not going to tolerate this bullshit much longer. It's coming. It's coming. And I say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'll just say one more thing, and I'll let you take the show home however you want. I said something earlier in the chat box about how I think it's going to, unfold, and as a word of encouragement for those of us who are aware of what's happening and know how close we are, and if we're honest with ourselves, the thoughts aren't pleasant because, but I think it's going to be fast for those of us who are prepared and understand what's happening. And know where we've made our decisions, and we know what we're going to do when that moment of truth comes. I'll just say this: don't be afraid of those who can only kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul.
Amen.
Whether you call him Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Yahweh, Yeshua, he's the uncaused first cause, and he's our King of Kings. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Very good, Henry. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
All right.
Hey guys,
Jimmy.
I just got bumped off, I guess the NSA, and I dialed back in and I did the old this, that, and the other, and I'm not here to steal the show, but we had a very, very engaged and spirited conversation here, and I'm like, damn, man. But I was listening to you guys. I always have my computer on, and then I have my phone call in. And I guess, like Henry said, you know, let our leader take the show home. Dan, thanks for having me and giving me time in your forum here. Henry, it's nice to hear your voice again, and thanks for, you know, the few that said, hey, it's nice to hear me back. I've never left. I have matured a lot and refined a lot of my ideas and defenses. I have no fear because, I don't know, Dan, if you stole that from me, or I stole that from you, but fear is false evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
I have no fear. I don't live in fear. I certainly don't want to have to use the defense armory that I have set up here. Dan, I'm going to send you some pictures of my new aerial assault vehicle.
Okay.
And again, sir, thanks for letting me be a part of your show again and your family. And you know I'm always here for you. But like you said, and I heard your passion like I've never heard it before tonight. Our time is runneth out, and we have only a certain amount of time. Remember when we first met? I said, Dan, we're all sitting on my front lawn with all these big charged fire hoses, and we see this raging fire coming across the land in front of me, which I have that scenario here, all woods in front of me, and none of us are turning on the fire hose, but the fire is creeping and creeping and obviously going to be a problem. And the more we let it grow and the more we delay using the weapons of defense that we have, the more certainty we are going to perish. And
yep.
I'll leave you with that.
Yep, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, buddy. Well, I will digress to what George Washington or the Founding Fathers said about George Washington, that if it wasn't for the writings of Thomas Paine and common sense, the sword of Washington would have been used in vain. We are at the stage and have been at the stage of doing what Thomas Paine, the writer of Common Sense, was doing in the colonies. We've been lighting fires, brush fires under the asses of our people, and we've been doing it for a very long time. We are very close to the end of that phase, and the sword of General Washington is right around the corner. So we're very, very close, and as I've told plenty of people, enjoy the rest that we have at the moment, even though it's frustrating as hell, because when this thing goes violent, you're going to wish you had days of rest. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be very ugly. So
I call it Mad Max, Dan. I call it the Mad Max syndrome. Remember that? I mean,
I remember.
To the point where people were, you know, finding burned out wrecked cars just to suck a couple gallons of gas out of it. And I don't think I'm exaggerating, do you? I mean, if the POS system, the point of sale system, goes down, therein lies people not being able to buy food. Power grid goes down. We have food spoilage. I mean, come on. I could go on and on and on and on. It would be very, very simple for these clowns to put the thorn in. And I wanted to comment on one thing you said about the COVID. The very, very, very singular effectiveness of that scam are the masks. It shows compliance. Correct?
Correct.
And if we don't wear a mask, you go to Publix, I mean, name it. At my racetrack up here, they have signs. We recommend, or no, you know, it used to say recommend. Now it said we require. Well, I went back to my car. I got my Chinese mask. The first strap broke. I got another one. And I put it on for the first and only time I've ever put on a mask. And I walked in, and they know me up there. And none of them behind the counter had a mask on. And I said, hey, I said, do I really have to wear this? And they said, no. And I took it and ripped it off, and I handed it to her. I said, would you throw this away? I said, this is a bunch of bullshit. And they laughed. And I purchased my little items, and this is when I walked out, when the guy said, where's your mask, white boy, blah, blah, blah. But my point is, it's a visible psychological sign of compliance.
Right.
And yep. The backup is the intimidation of, well, I'm wearing my mask, and you're putting me at risk. Or, I took my vaccine, and you're a non-vaxxer, you're putting me at risk. Bullshit! Or Bolshevik. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I promise I wouldn't swear on your air, but anyway, with that, brother, I yield, and once again, I got to thank you for welcoming me in. It was nice to hear from Henry, and it's good to be back in contact with you, Dan. I look forward to, I want to help, but I've kind of moved on into helping on the defense side of this, and I like Project Roundup. I like the name.
Yep.
And, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of hurting people out there. You know, I'm giving a family $300 a week just to be able to eat right now. And I got to make sure I don't perish either. I don't mean to sound selfish. I also have to make sure that I've got the wherewithal to be ready to go to wherever I'm needed or bring people here. Dan, you're south of me. I'm up here. I've got contacts all over this country, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, lots of folks in Texas.
Right.
And we're all equal-minded. We all of us could be on this call right now of who I just said.
Yep.
We're scattered, and I just pray to God above that those that are laying in the bushes and not willing to come on some of these on-air shows are going to be there when we need them because, in summary, again, I'm sorry, my passion tends to take over, but we're in deep shit, and our time is days, if not weeks, in my humble, educated opinion, sir. And with that, I truly bid you good night. Yahweh bless, and thank you for allowing me to be part of your show this evening.
All right, Jimmy. Yah bless, buddy. Take care. Henry, any closing comments, bud? Are you still there, Henry?
Am I there now?
Oh, now you are, yeah.
Yeah, I had self-muted. I was I had pretty much wrapped up. I wasn't sure the show was going to go on much longer. But no, I really don't have anything else to say. I'll let the pro take it home now.
All right, Henry, you guys take care up there and stay safe. All right, buddy?
Okay.
Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for sticking with us there. We went a little longer than usual, but a lot of good material came out. So these are perilous times, and the other men are right. I don't think we're very far from some very serious things starting to happen in this country. We put our faith in the wrong people. This current administration is not on our side. I don't believe so. I don't know that anybody outside of our Heavenly Father and His saints that walk this earth are on our side. So if I'm wrong about that, I'll be the first one to say so and sing hallelujah. And I pray I am wrong. I pray that there's hidden forces and angelic beings and all that. But I got to be honest on the program and say what I know that I know that I know that I know. And if I don't have it, I can't report it to you. Do I believe in angelic beings? Absolutely. Do I believe our Father is going to save His remnant? Yes, I do. But Can I sit here and tell you that I've seen the angelic host walking this earth? No, I can't tell you that. Have I seen military units, white hats, that are good guys going to fight this? No, I've not seen that. Okay? So if I did, I'd tell to you. I can only tell you what I know. And I know that we're in serious trouble because of our lack of due diligence, because of our apathy and complacency. And these dirty diapers being worn show just how pathetic the average person is. That is a serious problem. And the fact that there's elements out there thinking that they have a right to stick this poison in our bodies. I got to tell you, no, they don't. And shame on the person that lets them. Shame. I told you, I have family members that work at high levels in the medical mafia. I'm not proud of it, but that's what they chose as a career. They're thinking very seriously about getting out because they've already been told that forced vaccination is going to come down on top of them pretty soon. They've already seen the letters. And they also had people come into their office that are even higher than they are that said, do not take that vaccination. Whatever you do, do not take it. These are people within the medical mafia that told friends, don't take that vaccine and do not get tested. I'm telling you, they got you focused on the vaccine. You're not paying attention to the tests. Oh, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to talk to our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We pray that these words that we've brought to you tonight would reach the ears that are meant to hear it. We pray that you from your throne, Father, who is laughing at the works of the enemy, reach down and touch us, Father, because we're down here in the thick of it. I know you know that, but it gets tough for us down here, and we sure would appreciate a blessing from the Holy Spirit. Just come down and just give us a tap on the shoulder and come in and visit with us spiritually. Come down and rest our souls. Give us rest from this weary fight. It's not as violent as it could be, but it's a mental spiritual war that is very, very telling on our people. I hear it every single day. I hear it in their voices. I see it in their facial expressions, Father. Our people are laboring under this, and I think they're laboring to get back to you. I think they're starting to see you are the ultimate solution. Worshiping and obeying you and taking down the root of our enemy that feeds this tree of evil that chokes us. So again, we give you the glory, Father. We hope you'll help us to be better warriors, better teachers, better healers, better educators. We pray, Father, that you would watch over us, give us strength, give us guidance, give us good discernment, and protect us from our enemies. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.